other 80 yards. Although you have to do all the work of the 80 yards to get it into the red zone, the red zone is where things really begin to pay off. Because here's the cool thing. Even if you can't successfully make a touchdown from the red zone, any half-competent kicker can do a field goal within 20 yards. I could probably do a field goal within 20 yards. Probably not, but I just like saying that for the point of illustration. So we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks, not just how to live our lives in that 80 yards, not just how to move the ball from the backfield where we feel defeated and where we feel like we're miles away from success, not just how to move the ball there, because listen, that seems to be where you and I spend most of our time, is moving the ball kind of around and losing possession of the ball. Because if you don't know how this works, you get what are called four downs. Downs are tries to get to the next first down, which is only 10 yards away. If you can move a ball 10 yards, you get four more tries to get the ball 10 more yards. In other words, it can take a long time to move a ball down the field, because if it takes you four completions, four downs to get that next first down, it can take an awfully long time. But you know what? Sometimes people just move that by a couple yards, move it by a couple yards, move it by a couple yards, and then they finally get that first down, and they get to start over, and they get to do it again, and they get to keep moving it and moving it and moving it, because most of us don't get those really impressive Hail Mary plays. It's not like in our marriage, in our finances, in our spiritual growth, we just start way back at our own 15-yard line, and then all of a sudden there's just this magical moment, and there's this bomb, and you're just running down the field. You're like, we're going to do it all in one day, and you catch the ball, and your marriage is healed in one day, or your finances turn around in one day, or your spiritual growth turns around in one day, or you're healed from cancer in one day. It just doesn't work like that. So we spend a lot of time just moving the ball inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard down the field. Problem is, we tend to get defeated before we ever make it into the red zone. In that place where we have hope, in that place where we have encouragement, in that place where we have faith, in that place where we go, I can actually see the end zone. I can get into the end. If I can have done this 80-yard movement, I can do 20 yards more. We've got the team to do this. We've got the ability to do this. By that point, you realize who you can trust. You realize who your best players are. You realize the friends and the family and the church people that you can rely on to move your life further down. Because guess what? The whole goal is to get into that end zone. Paul talked about it. He says, I run a race to win the race. I don't run. He talks about just shadow boxing. He says, I don't just flap my arms and make a lot of motion and movement. I do this so that I can win. Don't you want to win at life? Don't you want to stop wasting time in the back 80? Just working and working and working and never coming to a place of completion, never finishing strong. I'm not talking about finishing your life strong. I'm talking about finishing your week strong. Finishing the things that have begun in your life, because you and I often start things with such enthusiasm, such strength, such power, and we lose hope and we lose encouragement and we lose our way and we never get into that final 20 yards. We never get within hope. We never get within scoring position. And so with the help of just a little football analogy, we're going to work on important things in the next few weeks. So grab your notes if you don't already have them out. Philippians 1:6 says this, I'm confident that the Creator who has begun such a great work among you, another translation will say in you, will not stop mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. You know what that says? God, who started a good thing in you, is not going to stop doing a good thing in you. He wants to keep doing a good thing in you until it's completed. Now, here's the question. Why, then, do we have incomplete things in our lives? Why do we have so many things that aren't completed in our lives? Why have we started so many things that never seem to finish? Why doesn't it feel like we're ever scoring? And can I give you the answer? Because God cannot force us to win. You and I have to collaborate with the work of God in our life. In other words, where we stand opposed or stand off to the side, unwilling to play, there can be no completion of passes. There can be no running of yards. There can be no scoring if we are not intent on collaborating with God's work in our life. So for today, we're just going to talk about how not to get in the way of God, how not to frustrate God's effort in our life. So number one is this: to allow God to finish his work in my life, number one, I can't lose my fire. I can't lose my fire. So when a team, any team, basketball team, baseball team, football team, rugby team, hockey team, when they step onto the field or the ice or whatever they happen to be playing on, they always start with a ton of energy, a ton of enthusiasm, a ton of strength, a ton of passion. They are a ton of adrenaline. I remember I played basketball in high school. I wrestled in high school. I played soccer in high school. I went to a small Christian school, so we didn't have a ton of sports programs, but whatever they had, I played on. And you're just psyched, you know, you listen to some really hype music right before you play, you know, you get yourselves all worked up. There's usually some speech by the coach before he rants around the locker room, and everybody just is foaming at the mouth, and they can't wait to get out there. But catch them about halftime or even 15 minutes into the game, and sometimes all that adrenaline has begun to wear off and the energy level begins to drop. And here's what happens. A team starts getting tired. Soccer is honestly probably, I think, one of the most physically brutal sports because you just run nonstop. And the length of the field that you have to run, you just run and run and run. And you're running a lot and never even touching the ball. It'd be great if there was 15 balls out there and everybody got to play a little and just go, yeah, woo, it's worth it, all the run. But you're not. You're running in anticipation you might get to touch the ball at some point during the game. And so here's the problem. There's a ton of work with no payoff. So people start getting emotionally tired. People start getting physically tired. People just get tired. I want to tell you there's a difference between the two teams, and here's what it is. Both of them are tired. Both of them are exhausted. Both of them are emotionally and spiritually and physically spent. There's something that takes place inside of you when you're not moving as quickly or as successfully as you thought you should, because everybody believes they're going to score in the first 3 minutes. And then when you don't and the other team actually scores instead, it feels defeating and it just feels like things aren't going according to plan. And all of a sudden, it's adrenaline's not enough anymore to keep you into the game, and so you start getting just exhausted. There's a difference, though, between the two teams. Both are getting exhausted. One just chooses to push through the exhaustion, understands that being tired is part of the game. One of them gives in to the tiredness, succumbs to the exhaustion, and then just surrenders to it. The person, I want you to hear this, that loses their fire also loses the game. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Jesus said this, Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest." I think you and I fall for this lie that if we're tired, if we're weary, if we're exhausted, it must mean that things aren't going according to plan, because we believe that if we're in God's will and in God's plan, then things should be smooth. They should all be like effortless, downhill. It shouldn't be rolling the boulder uphill. It should be chasing that boulder we just pushed over, and it's just rolling and rolling and picking up speed and momentum, and we just get to flow with that momentum. And so when we're tired, when we're exhausted, we just go, "I'm tired. I just don't want to keep doing this. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to get pregnant and not having a baby. I'm tired of working on this marriage and it not seemingly moving forward. I'm tired of going for treatments and chemo and radiation and then 3 months later hearing that the cancer's. I'm just tired. I just don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired." Sometimes we think because we're tired, that also means we're defeated. And Jesus stops and says, "Listen, all of you who are feeling really, really tired, really overwhelmed, really just emotionally beat up, spiritually beat up, physically beat up, I want you to listen to me." He says, "You can come to me and just rest. No player in any sport plays from beginning to end. Just stays on the field the entire time. There's always moments of rest. No, they don't get to go off and take naps in nap pods somewhere, right? You don't get to have 8 hours of sleep in between the first quarter of a game and the second quarter of a game, but you do get to rest. There are moments where you just get to sit down and somebody brings you some Gatorade or some water and brings you a fan and just kind of brings you a towel to kind of mop off the sweat, and you just get to sit, catch your breath. And it could be as simple as a service like this, where instead of stressing through the service and thinking about everything that you need to go tackle on Monday morning, and oh my gosh, I'm right there with you. This was one of the longest, hardest weeks for me, just dealing with a lot of stuff I don't normally deal with and dealing with it 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And then I woke up to that this morning. Isn't that frustrating where it's the first thing in your mind and you start thinking about things that stress you out and things like that? And then we do this, we sit here, and while I'm talking, it's just because you're off having a dialogue with the person, your boss you got to argue with on Monday morning or something like that. Instead, we should just be so good to just sit down with God. Just worship. Let God's word just kind of wash over me. Realize that I'm part of a team that's destined to win. And my goal is to not do all the work, but rather to just be a part of the playbook. Where God tells me to go, I go. What God tells me to do, I do. And when God tells me to rest, I rest. Galatians 6:9 says this, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up." So you don't stop working, you don't stop running, you don't stop playing, you don't stop in the game, you don't stop working hard, and you don't lose the fire. And if you can just hang in there, I promise you that there's victory ahead. If you just keep playing the game, there's victory ahead. Number two is this, to allow God to finish his work in my life, I can't lose my focus. So another fierce enemy to our victory, besides asking, how am I going to do this? I'm so tired, I'm so defeated, is why should I be doing this? In other words, it's easy to get sidelined and never have a victory because we focus on, or we don't focus on, who and what we're doing this for. Let me say that again. We get sidelined because we forget, or we never ask the question, or somehow we lose focus, more importantly, of the fact that we forget who and what we're doing this for. For those who follow the NBA, back in 1997, you remember this, in December of 97 actually, there was a basketball player who played for the Golden State Warriors called Latrell Sprewell. And Latrell Sprewell was at a practice with his coach, who was named P.J. Carlissimo, I think was his name. So, Carlissimo, thank you. And I knew it sounded mobster. But anyway, he was at a basketball practice, and the coach from the sideline was yelling to him that he needed to make sharper, crisper passes. He said, put a little mustard on it, was actually his expression, right? So you know this coach was old, because nobody says put a little mustard on it. And so he tells Sprewell, put a little mustard on the pass to start making them sharp. Sprewell tells him, I'm in no mood for criticism and you need to keep your distance from him. He said it in a different way than that, but that was the essence of what he said. Latrell was not known for his clean mouth. So he said, basically, stay out of my face. Well, the coach, being the coach and being the guy who's paid to tell players what to do, made a motion towards him, started moving towards him like, I'm about to tell you who's in charge. Latrell was not open to a conversation at that moment and went and put his hands around the coach's neck and dragged him across the floor and choked him for over 10 seconds while assistant coaches and other players pulled him off. He went and showered and changed and came back out and assaulted the coach again. Ultimately, he lost his career with the Warriors. He went on to play for a little bit longer. He had some successes, but truthfully, every team after that saw him as a liability because he was unable to play with his team, but more importantly, he was unable to be coached. I've never sat down with Luttrell. He may be just a sweet, cuddly teddy bear. I don't know. It doesn't seem that that's the case. It doesn't seem that he understands why he is on a team. He must think it is literally about him. And I'm going to tell you, he does think it's about him because at one point during contract negotiations, when they were talking about tens of millions of dollars, a basketball team offered him a little bit less than that. And he said, unless you want to see my kids on one of those Sally Struthers commercials, you need to give me more money because he's trying to feed a family. And that's hard, you guys, on $21 million. We can't even, and California, it's a hard place to. Point is this, he never really understood why he was playing the game. What he was playing for. Who he was playing for. Now, you may be talented and you may have some successes. You may have some gifts and abilities and you may think you can do it on your own, but you're playing on God's team for him. So your behavior doesn't affect just you. Your victory actually leads to the victory of other people. That's how teams work. Sprewell never really seemed to understand that it wasn't, the NBA wasn't set up for his success, right? That didn't exist to make sure he succeeded. He was on that team to help that team succeed, and they could help each other succeed. And you and I seem to forget sometimes that there's a coach. There's somebody who actually tells us what to do. You and I, on the other hand, sometimes just run around the field. I mean, we feel busy, right? You ever go to, how many of you have little kids right now? They're like 4, 5, 6, that age. Do you have them involved in sports at all? Isn't that fun, right? Soccer ball, the entire team clustering around the soccer ball. None of them play positions, right? Or they play on a baseball team. Can I tell you what 90% of the players on the baseball team do? They watch the grass go. They'll just lay down in the middle of the field. They'll walk off the field and go, I gotta go pee, right? They have no concept of the team. They don't have any responsibility. Or a ball, baseball, goes rolling by them. They're just like, somebody probably ought to get that. That kid's running around the bases. I don't know who's somebody. Oh, I'm supposed to? That's what I feel like God is doing with us sometimes is he's going, pick up the ball! Run! No, not that way, that way. Our goal's that way. Let's bring the Bible back into this. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says this, but you who are devoted to being with God, devoted, circle that, being with God and searching for God, be strong. Do not lose courage because actions will reap rewards. You may say, well, I don't have a hard time staying focused. I get it that I'm playing for God. Here's my biggest frustration. Here's why I lose focus, because I keep falling on my face, because I don't ever seem to complete a play, because every time I get up, I get tackled. I just keep getting the wind knocked out of me. I'm not losing focus because I forget I'm playing for God. I lose focus because I wonder if God's playing with me. I wonder if God is on my side. I wonder if I'm moving the ball in the right direction because I just seem to keep hitting resistance over and over and over again. I can't seem to complete a play. Psalms 37:24 says, even though you trip up, you'll not fall on your face because he holds you by the hand. Can I tell you this? Failure is part of your journey. Being tackled is part of your journey. Meeting resistance is part of your journey. How will you ever learn how to overcome adversity? How will you ever learn the character of relying on God? How will you ever learn to listen to the voice of the coach on the sideline telling you what to do? You know, in the NFL today, quarterbacks actually have headsets. They can hear plays being called from the coaches on the sideline. But then quarterbacks can do something called audibles, where they change the play at the very last minute. There's the play that's given, and then there's an audible, the play that changes it all. Sometimes audibles pay off. Sometimes they don't. You and I tend to live our lives calling audibles all the time. Coach tells us something, we go, good advice, thank you, I'm going to call an audible. Thank you, appreciate the input, audible. Like the play, we rehearsed it, we practiced it, we got it down, perfection, calling an audible. Because sometimes you and I feel like we know better. We forget that there's a coach who actually has seen down the field, seen how it plays out, seen what the defense is planning on doing, and is able to tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. It saves us from getting tackled a lot, actually. But even when we're on our own, doing our own dumb things and getting smashed because of it, God says, don't worry, I'm not leaving you because of your failure. Third and finally is this. I can't lose my faith. To just stay out of the way of God doing a good thing in our life, we just can't lose our faith. If there's another barrier, if there's a barrier actually that matters more than any other barrier to letting God finish his work in our life, it would have to be losing our faith. In other words, losing our faith, I'm going to define it like this, is believing in the strength and the power of something else more than you believe in the strength and power of God. That tends to be in our life, more often than not, fear. Being afraid of something is what motivates us to do things we wouldn't ordinarily do, or call audibles, or not listen to God, or simply stop trusting God is really what it is. Fear motivates us to not trust God. Fear is the belief that whatever it is that you're up against is actually bigger, more powerful, stronger, more forceful than God himself. Otherwise, why would you ever be afraid? As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, why would you ever be afraid of anything? Other than you believe that it is actually more powerful than God, that God is impotent and incapable of dealing with that thing in your life. So with that definition of losing faith, would you say that you've lost your faith in your marriage or in your finances or in your health? In the things that matter the most to you and the things that keep you up or wake you up? Things that you stress over. You know, somebody kind of gave me a word of encouragement at our last prayer night, Wednesday night. And I doubt they knew what I was dealing with or going through or thinking about. It just gave me an encouraging word about fear and being afraid, that it's not really faith. You don't really have faith if you're afraid, because those two things can't coexist together. And that was good for me to hear, because stress is just really an expression of fear. Fear that you're not going to control the outcome of a situation. Fear that things aren't going to turn out the way that you believe they must turn out for it to be a victory and a win. I suppose if I were the New England Patriots, I could have very easily, as a coach or as a quarterback or as a player on there, lost the faith. And just gone, they're too good. We're not good enough. We thought we were. We got here. We're Super Bowl champions. And yet here an underdog team that nobody expected to be here is just putting the whoop on us. We're not going to win this. It's easy to do when circumstances tell you. When circumstances appear as if there is no way out, the impossible becomes possible. If you don't let your faith die. Isaiah 41:10 says, so don't worry. This is God speaking to Israel, because I'm with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm your God. I'll make you strong and I'll help you. I'll support you with my right hand that saves you. God just goes, what are you worried about? I'm right here. You're going to win. I promise. I'm here. Why would we argue and point to the scoreboard and go, it doesn't look that way, God? And he just goes, I promise, I'm going to knock all of them down. I'm just going to go ahead of you and go, but you got to run. You got to run into. Listen, I'm not telling you that when circumstances and when health issues and when marriage issues and finance issues and parenting issues, when those things are running towards you like a 365-pound linebacker and you're 85 pounds soaking wet, you just go, I'm going to get demolished. You may just want to curl up in the fetal position, hold on to the ball, and just hope for the best. It's not hard to understand why you'd be afraid. But what if the linebacker in front of you, the defensive lineman who's blocking your way, who's moving you down the field, with just a word can devastate anything in the way? Doesn't have to move his hand, doesn't have to move his foot. He just speaks and everything changes. So important is it for you and I to not succumb to fear that it's actually commanded by God. Joshua 1:9, again to the Israelites. Here's what I'm commanding you to do. Be strong and be brave. Don't be afraid. Don't lose hope. I'm the Lord your God. I will be with you everywhere you go. Listen, we always know God's with us in the middle of the most amazing, wonderful, sunshiny seasons of our life. When the scoreboard reflects that we're winning, we of course believe God's favor is there. But when we are the underdogs and when the scoreboard reflects that we are destined to lose, that's the time when we feel like we're alone. And God says, stop being afraid. I'm with you. I'm your God all the time. I'm your God when you're feeling defeated. I'm your God when you're feeling good. I'm your God when you're feeling bad. I'm your God when you're healthy, and I'm your God when you're sick. So stop being afraid. I'm with you all the time. And winning is your destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans for you. They're not plans to hurt you. They're not plans to harm you. They're for a hope and a future. God said that to them while they were captives and slaves. He said, you've got some work to do ahead of you. You've got a road to travel. You've got a long football field to move from this side of the field to that side of the field. But I promise you it pays off if you just keep the faith. Just don't stop believing that I'm on your side. I know circumstances are dire. I know the situation is depressing. I know that it seems frustrating that you just can't seem to make any forward movement. But I'm promising you, you can't lose the faith. Because the victory is yours. And you and I get to have one of those really incredible. I got to tell you, I wanted the Falcons to win, but I was excited that they didn't, because that was the most amazing game. Just watching it completely turn around, watching those who were losing become the winners. I was just like, that's cool. That's what football's supposed to be. That's exciting right there. I'm cheering for you to come out from the backfield, to come out from your own 15-yard line and just keep moving the ball, just keep laboring away, just keep trusting that God is on your side and that victory is your destiny. But it doesn't make a difference whether I'm cheering for you or anyone else is cheering for you or not, because God is. Because he's your energy, he's your hope, he's your faith, he's your provider. God is your victory. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me just to give yourself a moment in which you can respond, reply, say yes to whatever God's asking of you today. If you'd say, man, I needed to hear that today. I know in my heart of hearts as a believer that I'm supposed to be winning, that victory is mine, that it's a promise to me, and yet it's still frustrating, it's still hard. It's still difficult. It's still painful. Sometimes I lose energy. Sometimes I lose faith. Sometimes I get tired. I needed this today because I think I step out of the game. I think I whimper over to the sideline sometimes. I think I get defeated by what the scoreboard says. So I needed this today because I believe that victory is mine. If that's you, would you just kind of stick your hand up and say, yeah, that's me today. I needed this message. Thanks. All over the place. Father, I come to you collectively with every hand that just went up, and maybe some that didn't because they just feel so worn out, so tired, so defeated, so hopeless. Their faith has been so damaged by circumstance. They don't even have the energy to respond anymore. Pray for us, because in our natural mind, none of this makes sense. In our natural mind, we don't win. In our natural mind, this thing is bigger than you, because it's all we think about. It consumes us. It feels like it's finally going to have its way and win over us. God, ignite in us a faith and a hope and an energy, a spiritual adrenaline to keep moving, to get up off the ground, pull the grass and the dirt out of our teeth, put our helmet back on, and get back in the game. And believe that you're always, always with us. You're our God when we're on the ground being tackled. And it says you hold our hand. We won't fall flat on our face. God, you'll keep us from being overcome and overwhelmed. Help us this week see life differently, see you differently, see circumstances differently. We're going to walk onto the field tomorrow morning as victors. Regardless of what the scoreboard says, we know that we win. We know that we win because victory is promised to us. In Jesus' name, amen.